The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
I want to invite Hannah and Sammy up. And as they're coming up, I want to let you know what our junior high and our high school class did this year. Our junior high class visited multi-different faiths, and their teachers were Erica Murray, Amy Alden, Simi Cover, and Courtney Young Love. And they're going to tell you a little bit about that. Our high school seniors were led by Diana Bacon, Sam King, and Helen, whose last name is escaping me right now, but I love you, Helen, and thank you for all the work you did, as well as Tad Hopp. They led our high school youth on a journey of learning through different beliefs of what they wanted to believe and how to define those. And so I'll turn it over to Sammy and Hannah.
Good morning. We were in a middle school Sunday school class this year called Crossing Paths.
Some of you may know this as neighboring faiths.
The purpose of this class was to expose us to different faith traditions and ways of experiencing religion.
Each month, we learned about a different religion. The teachers taught us about that faith.
Then, another week that month, we went to a place in San Francisco that practiced that faith and experienced their service.
We got to compare and contrast a lot of different religious traditions and be a part of how they celebrate those traditions. The first church we visited was Glide Memorial, which used to be a part of the Methodist Church, but no longer identifies with any Christian denomination in order to be more accepting of all people like UU is. However, they were also different from UU in a couple ways, most notably their songs. They loved to sing very loud and happy songs that had everybody clapping along.
Then we got to learn about paganism and Judaism. We went to a service at a temple that's in the mission and is specifically geared towards people who are LGBTQIA. I thought this one was really cool because it had a lot of singing and because my dad is Jewish, so I got to see what it might have been like for him to go to temple.
After that, we learned about Hinduism, and we went to the Asian Art Museum to see artifacts and learn more about how they worshiped gods. This one was especially interesting because we got to go a lot more in depth about the history of their religion and see ancient artifacts preserved in the museum. Although they have their own pantheon of gods, they welcome other religions and incorporate them into their own beliefs. My favorite god was the remover of obstacles, Ganesh, who has an elephant head.
We also went to the Purple Church, also called Her Church, the one on Portola that's painted bright purple, that is Lutheran, but has created its own feminist service. They have a really cool door of possibilities that you can walk through that can make you feel hopeful. Finally, we learned about Quakerism and went to their meeting house for a service, where we sat in silence for an entire hour. It was a little boring, but many people enjoyed it.
We didn't get to learn about or experience all of the major religions, but we did get to explore other faiths outside our own, deepening our knowledge of belief systems. And lastly, we'd like to thank our teachers, Ami, Erica, Courtney, and Simi. Thank you for teaching our class this year.
I want to invite Hannah and Sammy up. And as they're coming up, I want to let you know what our junior high and our high school class did this year. Our junior high class visited multi-different faiths, and their teachers were Erica Murray, Amy Alden, Simi Cover, and Courtney Young Love. And they're going to tell you a little bit about that. Our high school seniors were led by Diana Bacon, Sam King, and Helen, whose last name is escaping me right now, but I love you, Helen, and thank you for all the work you did, as well as Tad Hopp. They led our high school youth on a journey of learning through different beliefs of what they wanted to believe and how to define those. And so I'll turn it over to Sammy and Hannah.
Good morning. We were in a middle school Sunday school class this year called Crossing Paths.
Some of you may know this as Neighboring Faiths.
The purpose of this class was to expose us to different faith traditions and ways of experiencing religion.
Each month, we learned about a different religion. The teachers taught us about that faith.
Then, another week that month, we went to a place in San Francisco that practiced that faith and experienced their service.
We got to compare and contrast a lot of different religious traditions and be a part of how they celebrate those traditions. The first church we visited was Glide Memorial, which used to be a part of the Methodist Church, but no longer identifies with any Christian denomination in order to be more accepting of all people like UU is. However, they were also different from UU in a couple ways, most notably their songs. They loved to sing very loud and happy songs that had everybody clapping along.
Then we got to learn about paganism and Judaism. We went to a service at a temple that's in the mission and is specifically geared towards people who are LGBTQIA. I thought this one was really cool because it had a lot of singing and because my dad is Jewish, so I got to see what it might have been like for him to go to temple.
After that, we learned about Hinduism, and we went to the Asian Art Museum to see artifacts and learn more about how they worshiped gods. This one was especially interesting because we got to go a lot more in depth about the history of their religion and see ancient artifacts preserved in the museum. Although they have their own pantheon of gods, they welcome other religions and incorporate them into their own beliefs. My favorite god was the remover of obstacles, Ganesh, who has an elephant head.
We also went to the Purple Church, also called Her Church, the one on Portola that's painted bright purple, that is Lutheran, but has created its own feminist service. They have a really cool door of possibilities that you can walk through that can make you feel hopeful. Finally, we learned about Quakerism and went to their meeting house for a service, where we sat in silence for an entire hour. It was a little boring, but many people enjoyed it.
We didn't get to learn about or experience all of the major religions, but we did get to explore other faiths outside our own, deepening our knowledge of belief systems. And lastly, we'd like to thank our teachers, Ami, Erica, Courtney, and Simi. Thank you for teaching our class this year.
I have always wanted to be a magician. I think it's because, as a child, I was on an endless diet of fantasy novels and compendiums. I loved the Land of Oz's eclectic cast of beings, Roald Dahl's tricksiness, Andrew Lang's fairy tales, the Dallaires' illustrated myths. I didn't read fantasy to escape the real world, but to bring magic into it. There were lunch times I spent staring with desperate concentration at apples and pencils, daring them to move with all of my will until I got tunnel vision and a headache. Once I was home, an unsuspecting passerby glancing into our driveway would have seen me spinning a broomstick, my magic wand, and hoping that some goblins would come popping out of the shadows for me to thwart. When I started learning my first instrument, the violin, I came to prefer humming the pieces while whisking myself through enchanted woods to the practicing itself. The lessons became stifling. I would yearn to get in the car and read my way home. Later, I tried starting from scratch on piano. For years, the story was just the same. The years spent at home during the pandemic, I only went deeper into my head. There was nothing to do but tell myself stories of secret sorcery societies and lost artifacts. But when I returned to campus at the end of eighth grade, the lights came up, and it was time to trade the imagined worlds of the past for the promise of high school. Suddenly, there were auditions and training and opportunities on the horizon, and it was exciting, sure. But it came with a cold shock, which sank into certainty as the time for reading and daydreaming dwindled away. It was time, I knew, to give up on magic. I was coming to terms with this realization when I watched Richard Linklater's coming-of-age epic, Boyhood. And there's a scene where the boy asks his father if there's any real magic in the world, elves and stuff. Rather than elves, the father says, think of a whale, something that speaks in sonar and sings songs, something so big that its heart was the size of a car and you could crawl through the arteries. That's pretty magical. Struck by that line, I started wondering if maybe not that much had changed since the days yearning for supernatural abilities. I first started seeing the magic again while practicing jazz piano. I had just had the chance to improvise with some professionals, but quickly realized I was in way over my head. Those alchemists were brewing something far beyond my abilities. It was a mortifying moment, but soon after, the chore of practicing was transfigured into something new, uncovering jazz musicians' magical shared intuition. I've learned how to join a jam at the drop of a hat, read minds, respond to the call of rhythm and phrase, and there are still so many magical musical powers left to discover. Soon I started recognizing the magic in everything I do, shape-shifting on stage, like in Footloose, when I played a man 30 years my senior, burdened by pains I had never known. Some audience members told me that they'd hated the severe old man on stage and had to remind themselves that I was in high school. Others said I'd brought them to tears. Commanding a marching band with incantations of left face and mark time, surely that is nothing short of wizardry. Now I spin a mace in a stadium, and it's just as magical as that broomstick in my driveway. In calculus, performing miracles with every pencil scratch, harnessing the beast of infinity to my will, I went to Kyrgyzstan and shared stories and made people laugh across the language barrier, teaching my first grade Sunday school class and relearning childhood wisdom. The quest for magic is only just beginning. I'm ready to cast the next spell. Thank you.
My name is Davia, and I've been a part of this community for about 12 to 13 years now. I was recently diagnosed with autism, and to you, I write this essay, I would like to share this essay with the community who supported me so much with my different ways of learning, communicating, and more. Yes, I have trouble focusing on tests when the noise of the outside world can be too much to bear. Yes, I tap my hands and my feet as if there's only music that I can hear. But the rhythm helps me think, and the sound can be like music if you try hard enough. Am I really that different because I speak my mind, because I have stars in my eyes instead of words, equations, and letters? In sounds, maybe I speak in words that flow like rivers of thought rather than your insignificant bulleted lists. Every time you change my hymns into lists, I listened. I mimicked what my teachers wrote, word for word, and then I began to write, not just in my fantastical tone, but also formal and academic, even bullet points. But once I did not lose my style. When the noise became too much, I would tap out the rhythm to solve for X, then Y, then F of X, and then pass to the stars. I would marvel at the ancient civilizations, take their learnings and redraw their plans, until they made sense to me. I taught myself to learn by observing my teacher's methods and rephrasing them just for myself. While teaching elementary school children last summer, I realized that each student in their own way or another struggled to learn. Oftentimes, it was not the subject they struggled in, but instead the way it was taught. Like myself, they struggled, but unlike myself, they didn't have the skills to learn a new path to the answer. So I showed them the thousands of answers. My teacher once told me to cry him a river, build a bridge, and get over it. So I cried him a river of thoughts. I built thousands of paths, bridges, and cities, and I taught my students how to walk over them and build more and rebuild those bridges in ways that suit them. Thank you.
This morning we've heard about so many different possibilities of what a future can hold. I want to share one more story with you, and that is the story of my own journey through young adulthood. After I graduated from high school, I was set to study pre-med at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. I joke that this path was my path until I took organic chemistry, and that is what took me out. But actually, it was a dream that was not mine. It really wasn't mine. It was my parents and my grandparents that dreamed that I would be a doctor. And Nebraska really wasn't where my spirit could thrive. I wanted to return to California, where I grew up until I was a teenager. And so I did. I moved to California and I became a nanny and then a preschool teacher. In order to keep my job as a preschool teacher, I had to take early childhood education units, which I did at the community college. And the last semester of my AA degree in early childhood education, I took a class on Intro to Anthropology and fell in love with anthropology. So then I went to Mills College and got a bachelor's degree in anthropology and sociology. And then I went to Nebraska again to pursue a master's degree in applied anthropology, where you took the research of anthropology and applied it to real-world problems. And during that program, I had this wonderful applied anthropologist professor that I just adored. Unfortunately, one of the other professors decided that he didn't want to go along with the new law that meant that you needed to return the Native American remains to the Native American people and instead burn them and spread them around the campus. And so during that controversy, I was in one of his classrooms when he said, "I need somebody to call 911 and be able to block the door if anybody comes for me." And I said, "Nope, I'm out," and left the program. They also fired the applied anthropology professor. So then I became a stay-at-home mom for 8 years. Wow, that was a turn, right? So 8 years, and then I got involved in religious education at one of the Unitarian Universalist churches and fell in love with Unitarian Universalism. And next thing I know, I'm off to seminary, and at 40 years old, becoming ordained and a minister and serving my first congregation. So we never know what possibilities come our way. We never know what journey is going to take us. We never know what is going to prepare us on that journey for where we are. Everything I went through, all the skills I built, helped me in ministry today.